Which one? We're here, by the way. I just started it.
As one does.
As one does.
That muscle memory had to kick back in, didn't it?
Yeah. Welcome, Forrest.
Howdy ho.
JD.
Hello.
Josh.
Hi.
I'm Josh.
No, you're not. I am.
I'm sick.
You are sick.
You're a little nasally today.
I know, I'm sorry.
You'll be fine. We still love you.
Mm-hmm.
I meant more like in a stab way, but all right.
Oh, stabby.
We are Gamer Discretion Advised, back with another podcast.
It's Gamer DA on the street.
Yeah.
If you're asking for some from your dealer in the back alley,
man,
you got some Gamer DA?
All I'm saying is that if we were Batman and Robin, I'd be Mr. Freeze. Josh, you'd be Robin.
I would be Robin.
JD, you'd be Batgirl.
The sexy.
Try to block the rest of that movie out.
Yeah, it's probably for the best. So, I can't believe 2019 is finally coming to an end.
It's over.
Took long enough.
It's finally rolling out the door.
It
and
is over.
We are basically the last ones getting ready to turn out the lights to talk about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the last 10 years... it's been kind of a weird, bumpy road for gaming. It's not like in the old days where, you know, games just kind of came out and you just kind of grabbed whatever. It's been kind of a big deal the last 10 years, even more so than before.
Yeah. Gaming grows daily, almost.
Right. Josh, if you had any game of the last 10 years, 2010 to now...
I didn't study.
What would you put at the top of your list?
I don't function that way. I don't have like a number one. I have a list of like top 50, and it just goes. It's like having a bucket full of coins, and I'm like, all right, this one's Skyrim, tink, and it just goes into the bucket.
Well, what's your first three coins then?
Probably. Now we talked about maybe the series, but I'm gonna say probably Mass Effect 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm debating on Skyrim. The only reason is because I was so addicted to it. And at first, I wanted nothing to do with it. I wanted nothing to do with Skyrim. And then I played. And then that was the fucking end of it. I got the bug.
That's what I get for introducing you to things.
Yep. And then, I think we're in agreement on this one, but I'm probably going to say Titanfall 2.
Goddamn, Titanfall 2. It is still probably one of my favorite games. My favorite shooter, for sure. But my favorite game of this last 10 years, Titanfall 2, stands at very close to the top.
JD's old school, so his favorite shooter is Duck Hunt. Excuse me.
Dig out the tube TVs, kids.
Mine would probably be GoldenEye, but that goes back to like
if we're going, if we're going to throw it into the all-times list,
right.
GoldenEye was definitely up there. Yeah, because you got the James Bond Blu-ray
collection.
I
was texting you about Baron Samedi.
Yeah, how he goes down like a bitch.
He is such a bitch in that movie.
He's so cool.
It's okay, though, because there's a twist. It turns out he never died.
Was he ever even alive?
That's the thing. It implies he may or may not be the actual Baron Samedi god.
What?
Supernatural.
Seeing Live and Let Die.
What put Mass Effect 3, or even the Mass Effect series, on your list?
You play as... of course, the protagonist, you're the hero, and you have to save the day.
No way.
It's crazy, but hear me out. Just listen. There's more. But wait, there's more. You can also, as you play through, select the character's personality. You can be Renegade. And Renegade always kind of boggles my mind, because you're still you're still doing everything for the greater good, but you'll kill any motherfucker that steps up.
Sometimes it's so inconsistent as to how, like, you'll pick Renegade and you'll be like, well, I don't like your tone and I'll punch you. But then other times, I'll murder your whole fucking family.
Right. Shepard doesn't quite, yeah. It's PTSD is what I'm, that's my in-universe thing.
Do they have a cure for that in the year 50 billion?
But anyway, you have this character. You can be super duper lovey dovey for everyone, and they'll be like, "Oh, how are we gonna defeat the enemies?" And you're like, "Well, we may have to do it in combat, but if we can, we'll use the power of love."
I was gonna say that.
You know,
that's the power of love.
You gotta use heart. You can't summon Captain Planet yet.
Well, exactly, but I don't. And then the character shapes everyone around him. everyone molds to Shepard, you know, and the ending, of course, was lame, and even I was one of the upset ones. And I've, before you interrupt me, because I see you taking a breath.
I could be coughing. You don't know that.
To get ready to start shit. So.
So yeah, I was coughing.
He got me coughing. Overarching storyline, character development, because the characters kind of learn and they change, and some of them even leave you. Some of them don't continue the story with you. They go on to do their own things. I mean, they end up calling you for help because you know, you're Cock Diesel Shepard, and you'll come fix any mess they made.
Yeah, Shepard, Archangel.
But I mean, you forge these alliances and friendships, and if you choose, you can bonk aliens if that's what your character wants. But I also notice you have to, when you choose the bonking, you have to go in more of a relationship. You can't just bonk every alien crew member like Kirk. You have to pick one and be like, oh my god, I love you, Tally. You're so amazing. I love your suit.
Fucking Tally was the one I always went with, but she is the least fun to do because it's implied that you guys get like horrible diseases because she has to stay in her suit, and the one time she gets out of it to bang you, she's got a throat rash and she's sick, but she's like, well, it was totally worth it.
Because of their weakened immune system living on starships, mm-hmm. being in the encounter suits, she was able to do it, but she doped up on antibiotics mm-hmm. before.
And don't forget, they have entirely different DNA structures than us. They share DNA with the Turians, not like the rest of the universe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They're the only ones who can actually like interbreed. They can't even do it with the Asari, I don't think.
Okay. That's weird.
It is weird.
So, all right, we're getting too deep into it now.
I'm about lost now.
Right, sorry. But anyway, and then the whole implied ending, where the Renegade ending is the in-canon ending. So it's implied that Shepard, this whole time, has been falling under the influence of the enemies, of the Reapers. But that's why, when the ending came out, BioWare was deadfoot steadfast about their defense of the ending of the game. Because everyone got to the end and like, what a bunch of horseshit, this is stupid, mm-hmm. this is bullshit. And EA just sat back on their hands and they were like, we stand by it. However, they released the edited or recut ending where they added a few things to make it more happy. And it did good. It placated a lot of people. But it was just the implied indoctrination theory. It was a subtext to the whole fucking series.
Uh-huh.
That if you weren't paying attention, just like me, you missed it. You completely missed it. So, it's out of left field. That's why Mass Effect, it just does it.
Over the years, it's grown on me. Sorry, Mark, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, Mass Effect 2 is one of my favorite games. Hands down. I don't think it broke any new ground. I don't think it did anything different by any stretch of the imagination. It just perfected what the first one gave us. And that's why Mass Effect 2 is not on my list. It's because it didn't do anything new and it didn't break any grounds or change the game per se.
Mass Effect 3, you mean?
No, I'm talking about 2. Okay, yeah. So I played through Mass Effect 2 every which way I could and I loved that game. And when Mass Effect 3 come out, I didn't grab it as soon as it came out. I waited because, well, it was kind of a weird time in my life anyway. I had a lot of work going on. I was raising a kid at the time. And it was at that time that I was like, well, I'll just wait for it to drop in price. Then I heard the stories of, oh, the ending really, really screws with the series. And so to this day, I've never picked up the third one. And, you know, I'd played all the way through the first one, carried my progress over to the second one. And now that progress is gone, and it'll be one of those games I'll never, ever play, probably.
Well, if you start it up, there's free DLC that lets you go through and pick each milestone. It's like, oh, did you convince Rex to join your team, or did you have to kill Rex? Mm-hmm. Did you have to kill this person? Were you able to cure? Did you cure the genophage, or did you not? You know, so it lets you go through and pick the other setups without having had played them.
Right. But that was the thing, though. That was kind of the overlying arc of Mass Effect. Is I've seen these characters since day one, all the way through the end, and it's that charm is going to be kind of gone for me now. And it's all because I fell off the series before I should have. I should have went ahead and played through the third one. I just never got around to it. But listening to you talk about 3, it does sound like it did. I did miss out on something great.
Yeah, it just in my opinion, it's a great game.
I think you did, honestly, yeah. I really didn't get into it when it came out, but having looked back at it, it is better than people gave it credit for at the time. Because keep in mind, Mass Effect 2, I think it did break new ground because it kept its promises. Every single thing you did in that game had an impact.
Yeah, but the impacts were negligible. Like,
not in Mass Effect 2, they weren't. It depended on it, how you treated your crew and the things you did with them completely determined how your ending turned out.
Okay, yeah, I was talking about choices from part 1.
Oh, no, those right. are pretty negligible.
I mean, you pick the ambassador.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you have your good point. You could argue back and forth. JD, I'm so sorry. You're no, so no, lost.
Okay. Because I remember when Mass Effect game, when the original first came out, Josh was telling me all about it. Because for years, me and Josh were talking about how cool it would be to play a game mm-hmm. where you could explore the galaxy and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And Josh was telling me about Mass Effect and how it's a lot kind of like that or whatever.
It wasn't in our scope of
yeah,
what,
yeah.
but it was.
It was pretty damn close though.
Because JD and I had talked about that shit for years. Like,
talk about Lee Dangerous with him, yeah. Josh.
What if he had a fucking game? He's like, you can explore everything. He's like, most of the planets you find will be lifeless rocks, like they are in reality. But every once in a while, you'll stumble upon a gem, or you'll find something wicked valuable. Or
like
I said, wicked
like ancient artifact. That
right.
Clearly...
Yeah, in Mass Effect 1, you can find an orb, just a random glowing orb on a
yep,
random planet,
randomly, just sitting somewhere,
and it'll show you the history of how the universe started. Basically,
that's only if you talk to the.
Yeah, that's only if you talk to the consort.
Yeah, you talk to
the
consort. She gives you a little random chip, and she goes, "I don't know what the fuck this is, but I got a feeling you're gonna need it."
Yeah, you can either bang her or take a chip from her, and obviously. You're going to miss out.
Well, I mean, and even then, it's a tidbit. It just brings up a text window. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, you see a vision. It's almost like role-playing. You know, you see a vision. The clouds part. Light shines from the heavens. And, you know, and it just talks about how this orb had been watching humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a feeling that it's kind of a... it never to skip, but I bet it's Reaper tech.
I assume, yeah.
Because the Reapers never, whenever they came through the galaxy for cleansing, every 50,000 years, give or take, they don't mess with the undeveloped races.
Mm-hmm.
They're only going after super intelligent races that could create AI that could then go through and destroy all life.
That was, you know, Mass Effect does have a lot of lore to it. I mean, you can go through that game and just... they could have made a book out of that series. You could have made a book just off of everything that was in the first Mass Effect game. And I love the fact...
A few written by Drew
Carpershin.
Carpershin.
And he's the guy who wrote Darth Bane, the best Star Wars
book. I love
book.
Darth Bane series.
But that's ultimately the cool part, too, is because they could have made a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, really, they could have, because... And then by the time you get to Mass Effect 2, you realize some of the choices you made in Mass Effect, like with Rex and Ashley and all those other characters, they made a difference going forward. Even from the, you know, there was a part where you had to either sacrifice Ashley or...
Caden.
I expected you to say Ashley or Guy Ashley because nobody liked Caden.
Right. Everybody sacrificed him.
Oh, yeah.
So... You know, you had those instances where it mattered whenever two come along. And when two come along and you had to go to the planet, what was Rex's planet?
T'Chanka,
yeah. When you go to T'Chanka and Rex is now the leader of that planet.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it made a difference because you had someone to help you on that planet, technically, when you brought the next Krogan there.
Grunt.
Yeah, the one that you found.
Fucking Rex. So, Rex... How did it go? He's like, worse than I feared, better than I hoped. Wow, that was a neutral answer. I appreciate that.
But just having that kind of character development from one game to the next, you get to see the progress and the failure. And the same way with, you mentioned him, the Archangel.
Oh, Garrus.
Garrus is, they could have made
a fucking Mass Effect encyclopedia. Get away from me.
Yeah, you're pretty good at it.
But Garrus, they could have made a whole game just based on him, and I would have been happy.
I would have loved an Archangel game.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I thought he was a really good, well-built character, even though the rest of his race was kind of bland. I mean, they were just kind of like, well, let's go to war.
Aside from Saren, yeah, pretty much.
Right. But yeah,
I
mean...
totally agree. I just want to be part of the group.
You but, are, JD. You'll always be part of the group.
But that's how good Mass Effect was. I can sit down and play some games and not remember names and not remember anything. I can just remember good gameplay. But if a game goes through and I can remember characters, places, and events, that was enough for me to be stuck to it, enough for me to have development on it and really love that game. And so I understand why you would pick Mass Effect as a builder in that realm.
Yes, I'm the greatest. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I just like it because it kept its promises, and that's what no other game has done.
Right.
Or very few games, I should say.
Right. It's strange to think that Andromeda is what we had, and I can't sit here and bash Andromeda totally because I only played maybe 10, 15 minutes of it and was just kind of... I didn't like the jump mechanics in it. I thought they kind of worried about that too much, but after all the reviews came in, and I should have gave it a fair swing. I should have honestly gave it a fair swing, but I fell off of it because of fear of disappointment and something that I did love. That's my biggest fear in some games is I don't ever... And I should think about it in the same way I should think about Star Wars. People will talk about 7, 8, and 9 being what they are. And
yeah, garbage.
And some people think that. But I shouldn't let it ruin it for me. I have that's high moments point. And low moments of all three of those new movies.
Well, like even the prequels, that's not really our thing. Yet there's an entire generation of kids
that was their grew Star Wars. Up
on the trilogy. So to them, it holds the exact same nostalgia and love that the previous trilogy held for us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that's I think of everything in correlation to Star Wars in that factor. It wasn't meant for me. This is a new generation. It's the new going forward. I can't think of it as just another, you know, this is the same thing, only a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I mean,
I remember that even Honest Trailers kind of went into that with what was it? Ninja Turtles Into the Shadows or whatever. I can't remember.
Out of the Shadows.
I never saw it. It looks stupid. But he's like, yeah, back in my day, he's got a kid on there with him. He's got, back in my day, we had a talking brain and we had a mutant pig and a mutant. Like, well, that sounds stupid. He's like, yeah, but we had to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just what that's like to me.
So, Forrest, what do you find made this generation for you, this last span of gaming? What made it for you?
I gotta say Resident Evil 6.
Resident Evil 6?
Yeah, best game. 2020.
How did you make Resident Evil 6 of all the Resident Evils your favorite?
By lying.
I figured that much.
That game, I love it to death. It's like Judge Dredd, you know? A guilty pleasure.
What if they made a sequel?
It is they not did. A guilty pleasure. Judge Dredd's amazing. You caught me while I was drinking. Thanks.
But yeah, no, in all honesty, Resident Evil 7, I think. I prefer the remake of 2 more, but I think 7 did more for Resident Evil than that remake could.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think it was better than RE2?
The remake?
Mm-hmm.
No.
But you still stand by... 7 did break new ground for the series, at least.
It really did. That is the only Resident Evil game outside of the original remake in 2002 that damn near made me shit myself with fear.
Really?
That's the... Only 2 games have ever scared me so bad that I don't want to go in the basement.
Really?
And they're both Resident Evil.
Wow.
Silent Hill came close. Silent Hill 2, there's a part where you're going through a hallway, and you've been through this hallway like 15 fucking times, but this one time, Pyramid Head is on the other side of a gate, and he's glowing red. And I'm like, I don't want to go near that fucking thing, but the door you have to go in is right next to him. He doesn't do anything. Just static when you walk up next to him. But
okay.
I love psychological horror. But it's
enough to make you shit your pants.
Yes.
Well, remember in Doom 3, there's a part where you're near the Delta Lab, and there's lights up on the ceiling, and every time you walk by one of the lights, it pops, and it shows a flash of a bloody chainsaw guy, and you're like, oh, okay, they're just scares. And you get to the hallway, he comes right around the fucking corner, and you're like, shit. And if you're not ready, you will die. He will kill the shit out of you.
Yep.
With his chainsaw.
Doom 3 used to scare me, but I had too much fun playing Doom 3.
Right.
But Remake... The first remake, oh my god, I did not want to go in the first zombie door.
Really?
No, I didn't, because I knew it was going to happen, and I knew I didn't have the ammo to deal with it.
Okay.
You guys played Doom for the Super Nintendo?
Yeah, I think I have it.
I made the mistake of buying it.
I think that game had the FX chip, which was like only bad game I played for Super Nintendo had FX chip on it.
I forgot all about that. Okay.
No, the Doom on Super NES was a terrible port. Right. Had a red cartridge. That was cool.
Yeah. That's about the only memorable thing about it.
I guess
it.
I don't remember it at all. Damn.
Yeah.
We'll have to pop it in sometime.
JD busting out the fucking... Yeah. The classic. Well, I mean, that's where JD lives. JD lives in the classics.
I live in, like, the classics after his classics.
What?
The classics. Exactly. The not-so-classics.
Like a whole generation of classics after I got out of it.
Right.
Yep. I like 64 to PS2. Let's go that way.
I like NES to N64.
See? Like I said.
That's a huge gap. So, Resident Evil 7, would you say it did... What was the new thing that it did that none of the others did?
Copied PT. I mean, that's basically what it did.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's what it did. It decided to completely rebrand Resident Evil, and it said, we're not going to have zombies... We're going to throw you into Texas Chainsaw Massacre and watch how you deal with that shit. And that's what you fucking do.
Easily, because I got balls of steel.
It just happens to have monsters made out of mold.
Ah, fly.
Yeah, the molded were kind of a lame enemy to me, but the Bakers are where that game shines.
And that's the family?
Yeah, the family. Yep.
Okay.
Especially Marguerite, because
no,
she...
No, you're fine.
The mother of the family? Oh my god. You have to fight her in, like, a greenhouse, and she's turned into some spider bitch, and she has a beehive, or a bug nest coming out of her cooch, and that's her weak point.
Ouch.
That is a horrifying fucking boss fight.
I'm listening.
She pops out of random fucking holes, you got a flamethrower her, if you can, she can put up bug nests. I don't know, she's fucking gross.
Are you sure it's not modeled after my ex? Because that sounds a lot like...
I was going to make that joke too.
Well, that's what you get for banging a spider. But that's what I think of that.
You guys were mentioning Doom 3 earlier.
And Doom for the Super NES. It existed. Don't deny it.
Yes, it's true. But you had mentioned Doom earlier.
Yes.
What killed that for you? What made it kill lore, I should say? What put it on your top three list?
Oh, I was like, what Doom we're talking about? Yeah, Doom 2016. I very much enjoyed it because... First-person shooters are getting formulaic as hell.
And this one kind of went classic.
It went very classic. It took ideas from Brutal Doom, the Doom mod, and fucking ran with them. Everything is gorgeous looking. It doesn't have to be dark and scary. Hell is not intimidating in the slightest. You wouldn't even notice that it's different from Mars if you weren't looking at skulls.
Right, and Hell in Doom 3 was like
that
really...
That was
yeah.
some dark shit.
Yeah, it was kind of scary.
Loved it. But no, this is... It improved the gameplay of a first-person shooter that has never been done since Halo 1. Halo 1, they gave you a shield that recharges. They gave you precision weapons. They gave you, you know, new shit. This one introduced push-forward combat in a new way. The only way to get your health back is to kill enemies. The only way to get your ammo back is to kill enemies. So you have to kill as much as you can.
And let's clarify, they're through brutal kills. They're hands-on.
They are horrible.
Right.
Everything's a Mortal Kombat fatality.
And you'll wound the enemy, and they'll start flashing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, depending on where you look at them from the front, if you look at their foot, or if you look at their head, or if you're behind them, and you look at their feet, or you look at their head, you will get multiple different ways that you do fatalities on these.
And don't forget, you can jump on them, too.
Right, you can jump on them and do like, stomp kills and shit. Oh, it's fucking sick. And then, not only that, but when you're really hurting for health and ammo, that's when you bust out the chainsaw and you hack an enemy in half, and they just drop loot.
Fountain out of them.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, it's fucking great.
That is why, like, it didn't reinvent the wheel or anything, but what it did do was what we needed, I think.
It reminded me of the original Doom and just that facet of monsters coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you have to keep moving in Doom. You either have to keep moving or thumping them.
You almost never move backwards either, is one thing I've noticed. You move side to side a lot.
Right.
You can strafe and forward, but you can't, yeah.
Right. And those moments of, like, even just the beginning of it, whenever you're on the elevator and you're cocking your shotgun and stuff like that, yep. The music's playing, you realize this is fucking Doom, man.
Yeah, they did good. They did really good.
It was just a shotgun ride the whole way through.
It is. I almost never put down that double barrel once I got it.
I also see on your list Dark Souls.
Yeah. I tried to pick games that actually did something for other games this generation, and no other game that I can think of had an entire genre named after it.
Right.
Other than Dark Souls.
Dark Souls clones, everybody. Yep. Everybody
Souls
has that.
Souls clone, yep.
Everything, even Darksiders 3 has taken elements of it.
Yep. Even Star Wars has taken elements now.
Yep. So that should let you know that what they did was...
Even side-scrollers. Salt and Sanctuary, everyone said was like the side-scrolling Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's been other games, too. I keep trying to remember. Well, of course, you had Bloodborne 2.
I can't beat that one. I can beat Dark Souls 1 through 3 without a hitch. I cannot beat Bloodborne.
They say the reason
I can't beat the first boss of Bloodborne.
The reason why Bloodborne is so different or harder than Dark Souls is because you have to use completely different strategy to beat it.
You do. In Dark Souls, you can hide behind a shield, which is what I do most of the time, and you can dodge. You have invincibility frames when you dodge. In Bloodborne, fuck you and fuck everything you know, because the easiest way to get health back after you've been hit is to hit them back as fast as you can. But that just leaves you open for attack, and they hit way fucking harder than they do in... You can die in like 2 hits in fucking Bloodborne.
Right. I still look at Bloodborne. It's made by the same people that made... Mm-hmm. It's from Software. I still look at it as part of the Dark Souls series.
It is, yeah.
And the same thing
just
with
like
Sekiro.
Demon Souls.
Yeah, and Demon Souls. But Sekiro was another one of those games. I think From Software did it as well, didn't it?
They did. I haven't played it yet. I've been looking forward to it, but I haven't got around to it.
Yeah, The Shadows Die Twice. Have you seen it?
I watched Donkey play it.
Yeah.
Video game Donkey.
Yeah, I agree.
What's your favorite Dark Souls, JD?
Conan the Destroyer.
Dun, 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 dun.
Don't worry, JD. I know you're feeling left out, but we'll get to you. We're coming your way.
All right.
So anyway, about Dark Souls. What?
Yeah.
I just dived head first into a calculus class or something.
Like, oh, well, that's easy.
What are you guys
right.
talking about?
I've never even been to I never took calculus, so I can't even make a calculus joke.
Take Zelda, take all the color out of it, and make it stupid fucking hard. There's Dark Souls.
That's Dark Souls.
And apparently you're invincible when you dodge or some shit. Whatever he was... I was stopped listening a while ago.
You're invincible when you don't get hit.
Wow. Mind blown.
JD.
You're like some kind of prophet.
I go invisible.
You
but only when nobody's
do
looking.
Most of your current gaming on the Switch, correct?
Yes.
And what have you, out of the games that you own, what would you say would define your last 10 years in gaming?
Oh man, Zelda.
Dark Souls, damn
easy.
It.
That's not even close.
Nice try, Forrest.
What did it for you to actually purchase Breath of the Wild?
Well, Josh and his friend Andy came over to my house last mm-hmm. summer.
Yep.
And he hooked up his
It was for TV. Infinity War?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Oh. We came up there and watched it.
And he's playing Breath of the Wild on my TV. I'm like, okay, I'm hooked now.
Which is funny because while you're watching it, you looked completely disinterested. You were just like, yeah, that's great. Zelda's a new Zelda game. What do you fucking do? But inside, you're like, whee!
Pretty much.
How did you beat it?
Yeah.
Do you know how long it took you?
Oh, I could have done a lot sooner, but I just didn't want to because I didn't want the game to be over.
Right.
That is a good game. When you play it longer,
yeah,
so you don't want it to be over.
Probably over a year before I beat it, really.
That's saying quite a bit. I mean, if it takes someone a year to make it through a game,
yep.
And they do play, you know, even semi-regularly, that's a hell of a game to play I can't think of a whole lot of games that you can spend that much time in and feel fulfillment doing Skyrim. It. Right.
I'd kick your... No. I'm sure you can.
Well,
if
I mean,
you're a noob. But
I mean more into the into the modding, because the
that is the way to extend Skyrim's life.
Yes,
the only way, honestly.
There's good mods. There's bad mods. There's adult dirty mods. Those are my favorites. The kind where you can have hobbit feet. There may be a mod for hobbit feet. I don't know.
I almost guarantee it.
But if there is, I think
if
I
there's
need
not,
to find
get on
it.
That modders.
So. Hobbit feet coming 2020.
What? I'm sorry. I'm gonna
interject.
Objection. May I cross examine the witness?
Yeah.
JD. In your professional opinion, do I look fat? No, I'm just kidding. Don't answer
only
that.
Only in orange.
I see him getting ready to say something, and I stopped him. I have not. Shut up. I've not played Breath of the Wild. Andy is every day I get a text message. I'm not kidding you. Every day I get a text. He's like, you play Zelda yet? This has been years now. And I'm like, no, I already have enough games to play. And that game's already too big.
Just tell him about Elite Dangerous. He'll understand.
Yeah, watch the life drain from his eyes. And anytime anybody comes over, I'm like, abandon ye hope all who enter here. Elite Dangerous, cosmetics galore. Look at my new ship paint job.
It's slightly chromer than the last one.
I renamed this ship. It was called the... Actually, I do have one called the...
Yeah, that's great. So, Mark,
no,
what were
on,
your
hold
favorite?
On, hold on, it's pretty funny. The Bicentennial Condor.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. So, Mark, what are your favorites?
My favorites? Red Dead Redemption. The original Red Dead Redemption.
I was when he said that there, or when you were saying that there were very few games you can keep getting fulfillment out of that are open world. Red Dead's the first one came to my mind.
Yeah,
I was talking to a guy at work who loves that game.
Yep.
The one that came out.
You like it?
I really was hoping for a remaster of Red Dead. Mm-hmm. It does look really good after they revamped the graphics a little bit for the Xbox One when they upped the resolution and stuff like that on it. It does look really good and it still does play really well, but the original That game, I lived in that world. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to be John Marston until the end of the game, of course.
Yeah. When it turns out he's an alien.
Right.
I knew it.
Spoilers, if you've not played Red Dead Redemption, it is a redeeming story about John Marston coming from being a heel or, you know, the thief, the crook, the murderer, into being a family man, all to watch it all fold in the end. He does get a little bit of that life for about 5 seconds of it in the grand scheme
pretty
of
much,
it.
Pretty much, yeah.
And
he gets Nifty's Han Solo vest, though.
Yeah, that's true. The only thing that bothered me about it was, in the very end, you get to pull up your Deadeye, and you have all those cops that you're looking at, and there's no way you can even do anything about it.
Yep.
And I did it about a dozen times. I reloaded that and seen if I could possibly try to do something with it, and I could not. Because I didn't want John to die. It's the first time in a video game that a video game character, I felt he's not the best, he is not the smartest, but what he does, it makes you care about him.
He's a very human person.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot of video game telling nowadays that makes you feel like you are rooting for him completely. Mm-hmm. Even Shepard, to an extent.
That's what I think of, yeah. Shepard's not...
He's very vague and very, you know, it's just supposed to be a persona of yourself.
That's why I like FemShep better.
But it's supposed to be a persona. You're supposed to invoke what you feel and what you think, and Shepard, in a way, is you. Mm-hmm. But with John's actions, the way John does things, you help him and guide him along that way. But he is an intelligent creature. He is
his own person. That's what's cool about him.
And has his own personality.
Well, that's what I like about all Rockstar characters. Like, Niko Bellic will always be my number one, because I can relate to him so much.
Being
he just wants
an
to
immigrant
fucking make
and all?
It. Yeah. He just wants to fucking make it. That's all he wants.
That's what he wants, yeah. And I look at the characters of Red Dead, and the whole time along the way, I keep thinking, all right, this is where John's going to find... you know, this is where the story arcs, or this is where the story turns, mm-hmm. or this is what's going to do it. But the part where you go to Mexico.
Yep, long-ass horse ride.
And the music that they have playing with that, it you felt more than just you're watching a guy ride a horse off into, mm-hmm. into the distance. It felt like a good moment in the game. It was an epic turn for that game. And I can't say that I've ever felt that before in a video game. It was one of the few times in a game that I sat there and was just, I felt pure emotion of what was going on the screen. And not a whole lot of games have ever done that to me except for that. Sure, I mean, I've felt things about other video games, excited, happy. Mm-hmm. But to feel the emotion, especially when that song kicks in, it's just something that'll always be unique to that game.
So what Western movies does it remind you of?
You want like all 50 of them, or
I was just trying to piss off Josh.
I like Turtles.
I like Turtles. We can't both like Turtles. Fuck you, Gamera's the best.
Okay.
So yeah.
What else you got?
Titanfall 2. Me and Josh see eye to eye on that.
Yeah, that's great. What else you got?
Hey. Titanfall 2 is probably the game I had the most fun, and it's because of Josh and mm-hmm. our buddy Ed, and it really was kind of what got us back into being to talking regularly, because it was like, fuck, I'm off work. I don't have any responsibilities tonight. I'm kicking off my boots. We're going to play Titanfall 2 until one of us says, fuck it, and shuts our Xbox off.
Right, right.
There you go.
Yep.
So,
JD, I mean, Titanfall 2 is a video game.
And you it's play, 3D. You play it
on, it's got guns.
And robots.
Shoot and robots. Listen to the smart robots.
And wall running.
I agree. There he is. I knew he was in here.
So, Titanfall 2 actually had a decent storyline for the narrative of it.
I didn't even know it had a storyline.
It does. There's actually a pretty cool...
Yeah. The first one did not. The story was told through the multiplayer levels.
Right. Pretty much, yeah.
Depending on what team you were randomly assigned to or whatever. This one does have a single-player campaign, because that's what people asked for.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why I've been avoiding games like Titanfall, because they're pretty much multiplayer only.
Right, but Titanfall 2 does have a story mode.
Okay.
And it's good. It's not half bad. It's enjoyable.
I've heard the same from Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah, it's a story mode. I'll tell you what, though. It's completely different going from story mode or playing the new co-op and then going into, you know, just a big battle. I get 10 feet and I die. Yeah. I don't even play because all the people on there, you know, they're like level 1 billion.
Yeah, and in that game, levels actually fucking matter.
And, I mean, their weapon upgrade, I mean, it's just, it's a slaughter. Mm-hmm. I might get one or two kills, and I'm like, yeah, I fucked that guy up. Meanwhile, I've got bombers crashing into me. I've got AT-STs stepping on me. It's just, it's brutal. It is so brutal.
That's why I missed the 25-on-25 size battles in the original Battlefront 2.
I don't even remember how many people are in Battlefront 2. But the four-player co-op is a lot of fun.
That's cool.
It's a lot of fun. Me and Nathan have been playing it. Sorry, Nathan and I.
I like the big battles and stuff like that, but like you were saying, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
When you have so many people, you know, the big 40 people on one server thing.
Well, I mean, and back to Titanfall 2, you've got it. You know, it's multiplayer team based. It can be. We play a lot of Frontier Defense, which is basically a tower defense version of the game.
Yeah.
And you're playing against AI. You're not playing against real people. But even then, we would play on the multiplayers, and we didn't do half bad. Mm-hmm. It's a game set up. It's not too terribly difficult to pick up.
Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink, JD.
It can, even for... I don't want to say I'm like an expert gamer, but I would say I'm a veteran. I've been playing for 40 fucking years. There are times, though, you'll just... Because you can wall jump, and wall climb, and wall hang, and it gets real crazy, and people will jump around you like they're fucking the Monkey King.
That's what I loved about the original Titanfall, is I like to have my Titan as a separate entity shooting shit while I snuck around and shot
right.
him back.
Right, you don't have to be in your Titan.
Yes,
you
that don't was have my favorite to be. Thing about
you
the
You can
first
put
one.
Him on guard mode.
Guard mode engaged.
Yep, and he'll fuck anything up that comes near him. He's like, hold on, fly detected.
You have 20 seconds to comply.
Fly eliminated.
So what else you got, Mark?
My third for this generation, this last 10, would have been Destiny. The original, not 2. And I know a lot of people had beef with Destiny. They had a lot of complaints about that game, but...
1 or 2.
I sunk quite a bit of time in that game with my buddy Steve. Him and I played the hell out of it. And it's one of those games that we could just set and sink hours into it. The gameplay was good. The whole mechanics of it are solid as hell. It's not really a flawed shooter by a lot of stretches. There are issues with the storyline. There are issues with overpowering on some of the game mechanics and guns, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's actually a really, really solid shooter. And Destiny 2's okay. I didn't play it like I did the first one, and it was a lot of just the experience of Destiny. It just, the first Destiny was amazing. I loved that first Destiny. It was the game that gave me the drive to want to play online. And it really, really was something that I would always look forward to, was getting on and finding my friends and playing online with them. It was my push for that. So, I mean, Destiny 2 still will be one of those games that I'll always find fondly. Even though in another 10 years, Destiny, the original, you'll never get to play it.
Pretty much.
It'll be gone by then. They'll shut
the servers down.
Exactly.
And, yeah, that's...
Well, okay, I only really have one big flaw with Destiny, and that's that Bungie left Halo to create this game, and they touted it as a successor to Halo, gonna be bigger, gonna be better. It is nowhere near as good as any of the Halo games. I would say Halo 5 is better than Destiny.
Not in mechanics, though.
In mechanics, because think of it. Did it revolutionize anything the way Halo did?
Sometimes you don't have to invent the wheel. Sometimes you just have to make the wheel better.
Which I agree with. But when they're saying they're going to reinvent the wheel, it's because they lied to us, basically. What they said, what Bungie said, is that they are going to take systems that they created in Halo and make them better, make them work in a new environment, and they didn't. You shoot the enemy until it dies. It doesn't have overshields. You don't have to shoot it in the hand to keep it to get the rest of its body.
That's not entirely true. In fact, one of the first things that you fight is an electronic walker. It's a big mechanized tank with 6 or 8 legs. I believe it's 8 legs.
I thought it was 6.
It's a big, almost arachnoid looking walker. Like, and to take it down, you have to shoot a leg out, knock the leg out of it, and once you knock the armor off the leg, then a port opens up on it, and you've got to shoot inside this port, mm-hmm. to take it. Then after a while, his system functionality, he gains control back, it shuts that port, and you've got to attack his legs again, all while he's shooting this big fucking cannon at you.
Yeah, but how many other games do that?
Well, that's the thing, though. It's not a matter of how many other games do it, it's how well they do it. Take Halo. Mm-hmm. Halo wasn't the first shooter. Half-Life wasn't the first shooter. Mm-hmm. Doom wasn't even the first shooter. But those games, all of them, did something very well. Mm-hmm. And that's what mattered. It wasn't the fact that they weren't the first or they're not the only one. It's they polish it so well, and the experience you have doing it, it's a top-notch experience. And I can see where you say, like, you know, Destiny failed on a lot of fronts. Like I said, Destiny is not a perfect game. In fact, everyone says Destiny 2 is 10 times better than the original Destiny.
Yeah, I wouldn't even agree with that statement, but...
I can to some extent, but the first time that you queue up your Warlock and you fucking hit his Force Lightning that he has, his lightning ability, mm-hmm. and you're floating around and you are just zapping the shit out of everything in sight, that's something magical. Like, it really does hold something.
That is one thing I can agree with you on, is they didn't change the enemies all that much. They really didn't.
No, they didn't.
But they did make your player better.
Right.
That is something that Halo tried to do, but has still not really hit on, with, like, armor abilities. Like, armor lock,
I love armor lock, but that's just me.
Destiny did do that much better. I can wholeheartedly agree on that. And I like your player creation and character system, because you're not just a dude, you can be a robot, and you can be a blue dude.
Yeah, the Awoken.
Yeah. I forgot what they were called. The Exos, I know that. Yeah.
But
I was an Exo Titan, and I could wreck shit.
Yeah.
Can you be Lance and Bill?
No, you could not be.
Oh, fuck no.
But
Lance and Bill versus Doom Guy, go.
Keep that on the docket, because we'll talk about them here in a minute. But you take a look at Destiny, and I understand you don't think that it does anything better than even Halo did. But Destiny is one of those games that helped me concentrate on looking down the sights of a gun. Uh-huh. Destiny is one of those games, because Halo, you really couldn't. Halo, there was just, you had the pistol, which had a zoom, and then you had the sniper rifle. But you couldn't hold up a shotgun, and, you know, it was still what they call shooting from the hip. Halo was a shoot-from-the-hip game. There was no hold the L trigger and look down the sights to shoot.
So you
shoot.
Like the precision of it.
I like the precision of it. I like how... I just like to be the...
Mark likes being able to pop off headshots one after another and watch the enemy's health just drain away.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, if he was to do body shots... basically, it's the precision of it makes you feel better. It's all about how you feel while playing the game.
I know, that's why I like Fallout New Vegas better
than any other Fallout. I'm just,
that's the only one you have iron sights on.
I mean, I'm basically speaking to listeners, not you, because I know you know this.
Okay, okay.
But Destiny gave me feelings.
That's up. There's the floor. I'm not going to talk to you about basic shit.
Destiny, Dr. Pepper, we have nothing.
Destiny gave me a feeling playing it that a lot of other games don't. And my list, the three that I have on the top of my list, are all games that made me elicit or feel an emotion that a lot of other games just can't or won't. And I love most games. I love a lot of games. But those three games there, out of the 10, and they're not even probably the 10 best games of this, but those are the three games that made me feel something while I played.
That's what you need to look for in a game.
And that's what I do.
Makes you, it's the games you enjoy the most that matter the most.
So, yeah, those are just my three that I fell in love with these last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not the greatest, not the best, but they'll always hold something for me.
All right, JD, now it's your turn to rant for 2.5 hours.
Okay. Anything you want.
On the spot right now.
Contra, go.
Who's your favorite WWF diva?
Well, regarding Contra, you know, one game I'm kind of disappointed wasn't on the Contra collection. Which I knew wasn't going to be there anyway, but I had a game for PS2 called Contra Shattered Soldier.
I remember that.
That game was awesome.
I do remember that game, just vaguely.
Yeah, you showed that off to us. All I remember is that there's a boss that's like a fish with a human face, but really jagged, like mechanical teeth, and you're on like three platforms and you have to shoot.
Yeah, I barely remember that myself.
So it was a seaman from the Dreamcast.
I don't know, it wasn't voiced by Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, I forgot he did that.
Yeah, that was an awesome game. The only problem with that game was, though, when I was playing on the PS2, it took forever just to beat, like, the end-level bosses. Like,
so the boss fights were just...
like 10, 15 minutes just to get...
I have no doubt of that.
Man, that's crazy. That's insane.
Maybe that's what...
That would have been...
Killed it.
Yeah, that would have been my all-time... One of my all-time favorite games ever if they just... eased up on that part. Just, you know, cut the time it takes in half to beat those bosses.
I know a lot of the Japanese shooters are like that, where the final bosses take forever.
Mm-hmm.
Your dodging has to be on point, your firing has to be on precision.
That's why I like a GameCube game called Ikaruga. It's a shooter just like that, but it's like, you have a colored shield. You have a red shield and a blue shield. Obviously, they can only deflect red and blue
right, bullets. I remember seeing you play that.
It was cool.
It was on... Dreamcast as well.
Was
Ikaruga was, yeah.
So, of the Contra collection, that the games that came in it, what are you liking the most?
Castlevania Bloodlines.
That was I like that one. Probably, just the original old school Contra.
Oh, not Super C? Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too. They have the Japanese Famicom versions of those games, too. But the only, there's not much, no real difference in them, except in Contra 2, in Super C, I think, there's like an extra scene at the end where you see the guy run into the chopper to leave the island before it explodes. That's like about the only difference.
Oh, wow.
well worth the wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Well worth the wait. I can tell you that right now.
Is a full motion video?
Did anybody yell get to the chopper? If they didn't, I feel that an opportunity was missed.
Yeah. Lance and Bill versus Mad Dog and Scorpion, go.
Actually,
Or are they all the same person?
Yeah, I think they're all the same. Just the American version of that game was Mad Dog and Scorpion, and Japanese was Lance and Bill.
Gotcha. I just know they're Lance and Bill in Contra 3. That's all I know.
I never knew their names. They were Expendable Soldier 1 and Expendable Soldier number 2 to me.
Wow, that's overly complicated.
Yeah, you get shot in the foot and you're instantly dead.
While you're doing the world's most complicated front spin flip.
Yeah. And I can't get the Konami code to work either on the game.
That's bullshit.
So I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm not doing the right buttons or something. Maybe there's something I'm missing.
That's a testament to your skill, though, if you can beat them without it.
I don't need it. I mean,
right? He wanted to make sure you understood that he's no slouch when it comes to Contra. I'll show you whippersnappers.
Well, yeah, because he has 125% chance.
I have not beat Contra 3 yet, though. That game, that's a lot harder than
I
remember.
See, and that drives me crazy because I remember you came up here one summer and you had brought it for Super Nintendo, and you're like, Josh, you ever played Contra 3? I was like, no, I remember playing Contra 1 with you. And you put it in, and once again, as usual, I was dying every 6 seconds, and you were just doing a bunch of flips, you're fucking wrecking shit like you're a fucking super soldier from the future. It was pretty crazy.
I'm stuck on the part where, at the end of level 5, I think it is, where you're riding the missiles.
Oh, hell.
And see, and that was a level that, because I would always die, and you had no problem jumping from missile to missile and just wrecking the boss. I think you just got rusty.
Yeah.
And you're playing too much Zelda. That's what happened.
I always thought if they ever made like a Contra movie based on the video game, it has to be like completely ridiculous over the top. I want to see these guys riding missiles. Yep. I want to see them shoot enemies in the toes and they instantly explode.
You're like, now that's my kind of movie. Remember in oh, damn it. Hot Shots Part Deux. And he's killed everybody with the M60, and it's like, kill count higher than RoboCop. And he runs out of bullets, so he grabs a handful of bullets off a barrel. And he throws them. It's like, it kills like 60 dudes.
I love it.
Like at the end of it, he's like, buried in a mound of empty shells.
Yeah, he can't even move because he's just surrounded by bullets. Kill count, highest ever, and it's like flashing on the screen like it's a video game. Yeah, that's fucking great. That's great. I think we've talked about it before, but we'd come up for summer vacation, and we'd go up to where JD lives or whatever, and he had a Nintendo, and we'd play Contra, and he never died, so I would keep joining and using lives. Because the new player can join at any time.
But they take one of the other
lives. They take player one's lives. So I just kept dying, kept taking his lives. And if I died too soon, I'd have to wait for a few minutes till he got more lives.
Uh-huh.
And then we came up one year, and that's when he was like, dude, because the Konami code wasn't necessarily well known yet. It was still just in circles of people. So JD popped up the Konami code and it gave you like 72 lives. And I was like, yes! And I think by level 2, I had burned through every single one of them. And we were back to wait. I was back to waiting on JD.
That's my problem with Contra 3 is the fucking section where you're hanging on a pole climbing, but you're trying to shoot a flamethrower at these fucking bugs that just won't sit still. God damn them. I can't even make it to the boss. And the boss is stupid fucking hard too. Because you have to climb up a building while its drill hands are, like, penetrating you, and you have to avoid a giant laser.
Sounds hot.
It is hot. It's Japanese. Of course it's hot. But anyway,
best level, the end boss is the giant Terminator thing.
Oh, hell. Fuck that.
It was just the top of him, wasn't it?
It was just his torso.
Yeah, his upper torso.
The enemy's, you know, lair or whatever, and his hands come out of the wall, spreads it apart.
Yeah.
You just see his head. It shoots, like, eye lasers and flames at you.
If I was a giant robot, I would probably just try stepping on them or something more practical than.
My question is, when Reagan sent the two troops in to, for the Contra thing, did he even know the main general was going to have fucking eye lasers?
Well, it might have been George H.W. Bush by the time Contra 3 came out.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, it's called the Alien Wars for a reason.
Search for more oil.
Freedom.
Freedom. I hear
the search for freedom.
There was an old meme. It was like, hey, scientists found a Oil on the Moon are like, sounds like the moon needs some freedom. I love that shit. It just America. so many good memories playing old games of JD. Because I mean, back in the day, that's all we had. Did I tell you when you play Snake Eater, isn't it?
Snake Eater,
Metal Gear Solid 3. You can sneak up on enemy troops and you can like get them to freeze, and then you can interrogate them.
Yeah, you can put your knife up to them and interrogate them.
And one of the guys up on one of the mountains near the end of the game, you're like holding him, and you're like choking him, and you're like, "Tell me," and he goes, "Up, up." Down, down. I can't remember the rest. I love Easter eggs like that. I just fucking love it. And then I broke his neck and killed him.
Because you do.
Because he's a dirty enemy, and I'm...
You're the hero.
I'm the hero, exactly. I can do no wrong.
Did you mention Castlevania Collection also on your games you play lately?
Yeah, I have that.
And what game out of that is your favorite so far?
Super Castlevania, the fourth one for the Super Nintendo.
That was such a damn good game.
I can't fault you for that. Look at Josh rolling his damn eyes.
Yeah, Josh.
Number one, I was yawning. And number two, I'm stepping back because I was never into Castlevania. It's not my thing.
Because you're a bitch.
That may be true.
That came out for the NES. Those games, I cannot play. They're unplayable to me.
Oh, fuck.
Stiff as hell. Now,
Curse of Dracula is probably my favorite Castlevania game of all time.
It's three probably also always, the fucking hardest.
Three is probably my favorite. I just love the characters you switch between. And I loved Grant. I thought he was a good...
That's what pissed me off about the Castlevania show, is that Grant is not in it at all. I know. That's weird.
And I just loved how each character brought something new to the mix.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a really good game. In fact, Bloodstain, Ritual of the Night, that was a newer game that they made that's supposed to be kind of set off of Symphonies of the Night.
Yep.
Well, they had a Kickstarter that funded that, and in the Kickstarter for it, they raised so much money that they made an 8-bit prequel to it. And I can't remember the name of it, but it's
I think it was Ritual of the Night or something.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be 8-bit, and it reminds me a lot, because you've got the three characters you can play as,
mm-hmm.
It reminds me a lot of Castlevania 3. But people consider Castlevania 4 almost the best of the Castlevania series, even though it uses Mode 7 a lot. But it is a good game. I do really enjoy that one. Castlevania 4 is a good game. Have you played any other on that collection?
Curse of the Moon. Sorry, that's what
it's called. Curse of the Moon, yeah.
I played... Bloodlines, which looks like a NES game, but it plays like number four to me. I mean, it was
a Sega Genesis.
The controls are so much more fluid.
I love it. The fact that you can play as a guy with a spear, and that spear can do awesome shit.
Yeah, I need to play that one more.
Like stabby stabby?
Yeah, his name is Eric Lecarde.
Is it the one with Richter in it? No, not Richter.
No.
That's who's also in that one?
John Morris.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he's the son of the guy who killed Dracula in the book.
John Leguizamo?
Yes.
John Leguizamo.
Luigi. Luigi Mario.
And I'm Mario Mario.
But the Castlevania series is always going to be one of those games that I love. I'll stick my nose into it every once in a while just to check to see how it's doing. But I can't get back into it like I used to be. They were amazing games, but it'll always be one of those things. If I find something rare or weird in the Castlevania world, I'll collect it. But going forward, nothing will ever be Castlevania like it used to be.
Castlevania 64, Legacy of Darkness will always be my favorite Castlevania, even though people disown it.
Castlevania 64, the train wreck that it was.
It was. I deny nothing. It's just, I like it for the vampires more, because it's the only one that ever made the boss fights feel like really epic.
Yeah.
And the vampires are fucking creepy in that game.
Right, as like pixelated. I couldn't figure out how to beat the boss in the first level of Castlevania 64.
You just gotta whip it good. In the head.
That game, such a train wreck.
It is.
So, but you think Super Castlevania is your your go-to in the Castlevania collection, huh?
Yeah.
It was a really good game. It had
one of the hardest final boss fights, that's for fucking sure.
Is that where he takes three forms on that one, right?
He only has one form, but halfway through his health bar, his face gets all mangled, and he starts shooting lightning, switching
up attacks on you.
Yeah.
But it's also the only one where every time you die and restart, there's an invisible ledge you can jump on and get everything back. Like, all kinds of health, hearts, and a three-shot cross.
I knew it. I told you, but you never listened to me.
Fuck you.
Was Rondo of Blood on that collection?
Is it?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, Rondo of Blood was packaged with Symphony of the Night in a different collection.
And see, that's what aggravates me. Mm-hmm. That collection could have been the definitive best of Castlevania if they would have put Symphonies and Rondo on there. Rondo is one of those that was called Dracula X in Japan.
Yes.
No,
Dracula X here. It was Rondo up there.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I had it backwards. But it's just one of those games, because it came out for the PC Engine. It came out for TurboGrafx.
Yeah.
It was one of those games that there's always been that kind of a wall to keep us from playing it. I believe it came out on the Wii, though. I believe they eventually did release it for the Wii.
They did, and I can't beat it.
It was a tough game, and it was kind of odd, too. I never did play all the way through
it. There's some goofy stuff in it.
Yeah. I think that's the one that had Richter in it, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that and Symphony of the Night.
Okay. Yeah, because you play as the end of Rondo at the beginning of... Because that's where he transforms from...
That was all I knew of Castlevania until I played Legacy of Darkness. And I'm like, this is nothing like the intro to Symphony of the Night.
Right.
It took me years to find out that it was Symphony of the Night, too.
Right. Symphony of the Night is the one that they consider the definitive...
It's not. It's a great game. Don't get me wrong. But I'm with JD. Super Castlevania is probably the best.
Right. It's
JD's nodding his head in approval, like, fuck yeah.
I approve of your opinion, sir.
Like, out of the 2Ds, my favorite's Bloodlines, but Super Castlevania is by far probably the best.
Well, folks, any other game that you could kind of throw on this list to make people look it up?
I'd like to give a couple shout-outs to remasters and remakes that came out. The DS games, Ocarina of Time,
the 3D. 3DS. Yeah.
It is really fucking good.
I've been kind of itching to play that, but I probably never will.
I have it.
Both have it.
Well, the best thing that it added, it didn't add a whole lot, but the best thing it added was once you beat a boss, if you go to your house in the Kokiri Forest and you try to sleep, I think, or something like that, you activate your bed, you can replay those boss fights.
Oh, that's
cool. In like a time attack mode.
That's cool.
That is pretty cool.
I'd like to give a shout out to Star Fox 3D. Which, although it redid the voice acting, and I hate that.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. No, it went from, do a barrel roll to, Fox, you need to do a barrel roll. Like, that's not peppy. Get that away from me.
Press B to shoot a bomb.
Some of the planets look a little different from what they used to, and they're not as cohesive in parts, but it's still really fucking good. Like, Katina, where you have to rip off Independence Day, mm-hmm. They can't have it be as rip-off-y, obviously, so it's a little different, but
okay.
Still plays it. Don't you ignore me.
Well, that's weird thing, though, because who the hell remembers Independence Day scenes as much? You know what I mean? When that game came out and was fresh, the 64, Star Fox 64, you know, that's when it would feel the most rip-off-ish, and now that it's so far apart from it,
exactly.
If they were releasing it now, they shouldn't even have thought of that, so...
Yeah, it's kind of pointless to do that, but...
Right. Especially changing a killer game like that.
Yeah. Shadow of the Colossus had a great fucking remake.
Yeah, for the PS4.
Yes.
And the PS3.
It only added a new sword that you... and PS3.
Because originally it was a PS2 title, right?
Yeah.
It's been remade twice now.
It was remastered, sort of-ish. They upped the resolution, that's all they did to it.
Okay.
No, this new one, they completely redid it from the ground up. But they had to... It was weird. They basically made a new game, but it was still the exact same game. You can collect coins or something now? I don't know. But you get a sword, a nifty sword if you do. But it's pretty good.
Neato.
It is neato. Fuck you. And the last one is Resident Evil 2 Remake, obviously.
Right. Josh, you got anything to add to that list?
JD was over here last night, and we watched... we were looking for something to watch, so we watched Dread. the Carl Urban remake. So, love that fucking movie. But anyway, right before that, or it was right after that, up on my pins, up on my home screen, I had Turok and Turok 2, the remasters. So I played them for a few
minutes. Forgot those. I should have added them.
Yeah. And it's really awesome to see, to be able to play Turok without the draw distance, without the fog mucking everything up. That was the first thing JD said because I was running around the catacombs.
No fog?
Yeah, I was like, wow, it looks good without the fog. That's fucking great. It's like a different game. You know, and it's 60 frames a second. It's so... the choppiness is gone.
Yes.
I mean, it was almost like the Super Nintendo or the 64 was really pushing its limits on every game. It was like no matter what game they put in, it was running at 9,000 RPM, just doing its best to keep up.
And still running at 11 frames a second.
Another game that I absolutely love but I don't play very often would be Portal 2. I love Portal 2. I love GLaDOS. I love the character of GLaDOS.
That's been on a lot of top 10 of the decade lists.
It's just such a good game. I mean, one's good too, but I mean, it's 2007, so...
It doesn't really count. I would prefer Portal 1 over Portal 2, but I still love Portal 2.
I love the ending. I thought the ending was fucking great. Putting the portal on the moon, I fucking loved it.
Yes.
Thought it was amazing. Thought it was genius. Portal got there kind of fast. I mean, the moon's 250,000 miles away, 283,000 miles away. So, the portal beam is pretty fast.
If it fires at the speed of light, that means it should have taken less than an hour to get there.
It takes way... No, it takes...
Isn't it 300,000 miles an hour or something like that?
186,283 miles... No. 280... Fuck, I don't even remember the speed of light anymore. 283,000...
JD Quick, what's the speed of light?
Like 186,000
miles. 186,283 miles per second.
Oh, per second. My bad.
So, okay, so it got there pretty quick, so never mind.
Yep.
I didn't know the portal shot at the speed of light. But anyway.
I said assuming it shoots the speed of light.
Okay. I can't argue. So, yeah, 186,000. 300,000 kilometers per second. There, I just fucking... I went metric on it. Now we're done. Discussion over. Anyway, but yeah, Portal 2. I'm upset because I've still never played the co-op.
It's not as fun as you might think. Jeffrey and I did it, and the only fun to be had is fucking with each other.
Ruining. Okay, open the door, go through, and then closing the door on him and killing him.
No. I'll open the door for him, but when they try to go through the portal, I'll change it at the last second.
Oh, okay.
So now they're trapped in a room.
I just started playing Witcher 3 Wild Hunt because the Netflix show got me into it, and I was never going to play it, but they added it on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I played through the first part of it. And pretty much fell in love.
That
so,
is such a good game.
I love Witcher Wild Hunt. And we've also a lot here recently online been playing Rainbow Six Siege. I never owned it. Mark bought it for me on sale like probably 3-4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was dirt cheap. And he's like, here, I got this for you. And he sent me the code. I downloaded the game. And
well, me and Nathan had both owned it. And it was one of those, fuck, it would be cool to sit there and do these... To do these, like, the missions and stuff like that in it, you know, as a group. Because, I mean, when you get online, you don't really want to talk to people you don't know that well online anyway. And then to add to the mix, it's like, okay, let's all go together. And then, like, one person's like, or two people are like, nope, we're going off on our own. And 9 times out of 10, even we do that when we're...
Right, right.
But, I mean, at least being able to, you know, choreograph and move things together... It makes it a little easier for you to you know, converse and figure out where you're going. So.
I'm just going to say it. JD dropped the mic trying to move. Everything he did just made it worse.
Poor JD.
Well, my last thoughts of the decade are X going to give it to you.
Yeah.
X going to give it to you. Going to get. Yeah. So, definitely Portal 2. Had a lot of fun. Witcher. That one. And I got it really cheap. No, I think they added it to Game Pass. Darksiders 3. I was a little bit behind the times on playing that. But that's actually a lot of fun. Once again, it kind of went the Dark Souls route. Because you don't collect health from slain enemies anymore. You have to deal with the health you have. And if you go to one of the worm tunnels or whatever. Virgrim. What's his name? Virgil? Vilgrim? The demon?
That was my last thought of the decade, Josh.
Okay, you're right. Sorry.
I think it is Volgrim, though.
Volgrim, yeah, and he can let you fast travel through his wormholes, he calls them, or worm tunnels, or whatever. I can't remember. But anyway, once you do that, that'll replenish your health completely, but it'll also respawn enemies in the area, like Dark Souls campfires.
S'mores.
That's it. I mean, honestly, I could go on and just name every game that came out the past 10 years. Like, I played for a little bit. It was pretty fun. I say give it a shot at least if you can.
I'm a little surprised you didn't put Dead Space 3 up there.
Well, I like Dead Space 3, but it's no Dead Space 2.
I like Backdoor Sluts 8, but it's not as good as Backdoor Sluts 9.
Right.
Well, I mean, 11. I mean, come on.
Diablo 3, really good. Really enjoyed it. The Witness was really good if you like puzzles. It was one of those games I got far in and I never quite finished, but it reminded me a lot of Myst. And I loved Myst. Yeah. GTA 5 was another one you would mention.
Yeah, we never even talked about it.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
Didn't change the wheel, nothing like that, but the best thing it did was added online multiplayer to the Grand Theft Auto universe.
Right.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Well, 4 had it, but not as extensive.
It was not good. I played it 2 or 3 times.
So they perfected it for 5.
It is perfect.
They did. They nailed it.
It is 100% perfect. For multiplayer, anyway.
My favorite game on the PS4, sadly, was Tetris Effect.
Well, you can't beat the classics, I guess.
Tetris Effect is amazing. I mean, it's one of those games that, you know, Tetris is one of those you could kind of, it's got some fast pace to it, but the way that they do Tetris Effect, it's kind of tranquil at times. Like, you can sit back and relax and play like a slow Tetris level, and the music is just kicking along with it, and like every drop you do, it makes a beat with the music and stuff like that.
Every drop you do.
Exactly. And it's just, it's really a good game. I was kind of surprised by how good it was. I've yet to mess with it much in VR. I played it once or twice in VR. But if I've just got like 30, 40 minutes right before I go to bed, I want something to unwind, sometimes I'll throw on Tetris Effect just to have something to chill out to.
I'll do that with Shadow of the Colossus once in a while. Just put it in. Don't even fight a boss. Just roam the gorgeous, gorgeous countryside.
I do that with beer, you know, so I can unwind.
Beer. The Tetris Effect for JD.
For adults. For man.
Honorable mentions also, Rocket League was a really good game. I know a lot of people don't give two rips about soccer.
Yo.
But anytime you can get into a car, smash into some people, and knock a giant ball around an arena, that's a good time.
That's why I like Demolition Derby for the 64.
It's good.
It is good.
And Minecraft. Minecraft of all the things.
Yeah, we've had some fun on Minecraft.
We've had a lot of fun. I just built Shang Tsung's palace and Shao Kahn's fortress from scratch, and they're fucking huge.
Forrest and I, one weekend, I think we started like Friday at 8, and we just started building a castle. He was more of the mastermind with the floor plan, and I was just mining rock so he could have cobblestone. That's what I did. And I think it was like Sunday afternoon we were finally done. We played all fucking night. Or that whole weekend we didn't even sleep because we were building that castle. It was just a good time.
It is.
But now I look back at it, I'm like, fuck. I see it on my Xbox. I don't even want to boot it up. I'm like, I don't even want to play it.
What's funny is that castle's probably no bigger than this fucking house. It's so humble. Because we had to make the rock ourselves back then.
Right. Well, we wanted to have one on survival. We didn't want to make it on creative.
Because
you'd made quite a few castles on creative. And you could do them in no time. And they were massive as hell. But then, I think what really got us out is we saw people on PC. They would just type in coordinates and then, boop, wall.
That kind of pisses me off.
Yeah, PC has. I'd like to move into PC gaming eventually.
It is kind of worth it, though.
I don't have the cash for it right now.
I've only played Fallout New Vegas really on it, and some of the shit you can do on that game, even just with console commands, it's not cheating.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. You do you. You do you, boo.
Beware, Oblivion is a hand.
Word.
That was a good game, too, but none of this generation.
All right, JD. Any recommendations? I mean, anything that you've played the past 10 years?
The last 10 years?
Yeah. Anything.
Say, Breath of the Wild is really the only game that I've been having any any current game I have any passion right. for, you know?
Okay.
Well, they're remaking Doom 64 for the Switch.
Yeah. This comes out in like March or something like that. Is that right?
Probably. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll have Doom Eternal comes out. I don't have a release date on that.
March.
I'll hit March, yeah.
Yep.
Will it be on Switch too?
Yes, I believe so. So, yeah, look forward to that. With all the new consoles coming, everything's getting ready to change again soon.
You have Frisbee stacked, or not Frisbees, you have GameCube stacked on top of each other, and then you have boomerangs for consoles, and
yeah,
it's going to be a fun new year.
And with Stadia, you have nothing.
You have a cloud. Deal with it.
Yep, vape cloud. So, well, No Man's Sky. That does it for...
Elite Dangerous.
Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds was good.
Outer Pac-Man. Wilds.
Pac-Man.
Pong.
Pac-Man Championship Edition EX2.
Hey, I like that one.
It is a good game.
Hard as fuck, but I like it.
We are Gamer Discretion Advised. Thanks for joining us, JD.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a blast. Where can they find us, folks?
Twitter, which I finally started using recently, at GamerDA1. Yeah, that's one.
There you go. I've heard we're on Facebook, somebody tells me.
We're on there. I fail to make sure we have a presence on there, so that's on me. But we're Gamer Discretion Advised on Facebook.
If you have a favorite game or a game of the generation you think we missed, let us know. Yell at us. Tell us on Facebook. Tell us on Twitter. Or shoot us an email at podcast@gamerda.com.
I'm telling you, even if you have questions.
Even if you want to tell me I'm wrong for hating Destiny, Skyrim, and everything else popular.
Mm-hmm. Tell him.
I mean, serious questions. We're not huge at the moment, but I would love to be able to have...
Well, I'm a pretty good size.
A Q&A section on each episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to know my shoe size? It's nothing impressive, I could tell you that. Yes, I love Dr. Pepper. Maybe too much.
So say right. Every diet you've ever had. All right.
And for us as well.
I agree.
Gentlemen, I bid us adieu.
Deuces.
Adieu.